Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Hi, Buzz is standing by for our big Tuesday show, but before we talk to him, let's talk about our Patreon page at patreon.com/Bob Seska Show. You know, we love our sponsors and we hope you're going to support all of them. But in case you're not into listening to the commercials, I have some great news for you. For just $15 per month on our Patreon page, you can get the ultimate edition of this podcast and it's entirely commercial free. Here's how you get it. Just go to patreon.com/Bob Seska Show, as I just said. Select the box for the $15 ultimate edition level. Enter your information, then go to patreon.com/Bob Seska Show or download the app and watch for the post labeled The Bob Seska Show Ultimate Edition. Click play and enjoy your commercial-free experience. Plus, you're also going to get the shadow dockets and the after party included in that level of support. Again, that's patreon.com/Bob Seska Show. And now let the cartoons begin.
The Bob Seska Show.
Bob Seska.
Hi, Bob.
Hi, Bob.
Hi, Bob.
Hello.
The Bob Seska Show.
From our nation's capital, it is Tuesday, January 30, 2024, and this is the Bob Seska Show on the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. Hello there, I'm Bob.
Hello, Bob.
Hi, day 1,105 of the Biden-Harris administration, 280 days into the 24 presidential election. You can find me on Threads and Instagram at the Bob Seska, Twitter, Bob Seska_go, Patreon, BobSeskaShow.com. And that guy right there, it's Buzz Burbank with the news.
When yeah. You say Buzz Burbank,
Taylor Swift.
You've said it all.
Hi, she's not here. I just said that to piss off the MAGAs.
Good job.
Hi, everybody. He's Bob. I'm Buzz. And we're under a lot of pressure to drop out of the race. Not going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
A new poll shows that voters are angry that the economy isn't something they can bitch about anymore.
Right.
Oh, and by the way, let the record reflect that Trump walked out of the room during the opening joke.
Like always, that's what he does.
You hear about this? You follow the weather, right, Bob?
Yes, I do, sometimes.
You have weather in the D.C. area?
Yeah, a little bit.
I don't know if you heard about this. They say it was the biggest fog ever. This week, a thick fog blanketed 17 states all at once.
Wow.
Biggest fog ever. Meteorologists also reported that once the fog lifted, Marjorie Taylor Greene was still there. Better luck next time. This is true, actual headline in the Washington Post. 245,000 Jewish Holocaust survivors are alive today. Where are they now? And I'm like, who wants to know?
Paranoid?
Really? Really? The movie and TV awards season is in full swing, and critics agree the movie Barbie is less artificial than the new Frasier.
Hey, hello!
And some ocean. You remember when we were oceanic explorers?
Mm-hmm.
That was our old job. But yeah. Some oceanic explorers believe they have found Amelia Earhart's long lost airplane.
Yeah.
And I thought this was especially interesting. One of the doors is missing some bolts.
More fun, more music, the Bob Seska Show.
All right, we're kicking off a brand new week with this one, updated from Rocky Mountain Mike. Here we go. Yep.
I hear the Trump's tweeting again tonight, but he has only bitches about the workings of our nation. He's given us an awful fright. His big fat lips, they say words that make me want to try starvation. He he's just an old man who's in the way. I'm hoping they'll find his older tax returns or ancient tapes of BP. I want to turn to him and say, prison boy, it's waiting there for you.
Yeah, within there.
Mm-hmm.
That your crooked congressman could ever do. Just take your plane out of America. Gonna take some time to get some things we never had.
Yeah. I still haven't ruled it out, Buzz.
Ruled it out? No.
Yeah.
Which option?
No, that he's going to flee the country using a fake name and a fake passport.
We'll take what we can.
Entirely possible. I think he's got a go bag ready. That's what I've always theorized. Yeah.
We'll take what we can get, right?
Yeah. Oh, by the way, that was the great Rocky Mountain Mike, Rocky MNTN Mike on Twitter.
He always delivers. Speaking of delivery,
yeah.
I see what I did there.
Ah, boom.
UPS. I want a special shout out to UPS this morning. We just got word before the show, and I'll bring it up to speed. But last year, you may or may not remember because, you know, stuff happens and we forget.
Right.
But there was a threat of a strike at UPS, and everybody panicked. And so the Teamster drivers, the workers, the unionized workers at UPS got a deal where they got outrageous luxuries handed to them, like heating and air conditioning in their open trucks.
Whoa, wow.
I know. It was, they saw and they went for it, you know. They said, could we have? And it took some struggling, but they finally got heaters and air conditioners.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, because of that extra expense, UPS said, it needs to save $1 billion, so it's going to lay off 12,000 workers.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
We don't talk often enough about corporate America. We talk a lot about politics and politicians.
Yeah.
And when we forget that, you know, half the time our lives are dictated by corporations.
Yes, they are.
Maybe more than half the time.
Right.
And we don't look at what they're doing often enough. And I just want to point out that it appears to me, and I don't pretend to be an expert on this, but it appears to me that UPS is punishing its workers for landing a deal in which they got such outrageous things as heaters and air conditioners.
Right, right.
And so I just want to say, on behalf of us all this morning, fuck UPS. Thank you. And
fuck you!
Yeah.
P.S. Yes.
Yep. Yeah. That's what they do. That's the thing. They were hoping, hey, look, what we'll do is we'll settle with the workers, and then 6 months down the road, 8 months down the road, we'll do this thing that will pay for the thing we agreed to 8 months earlier. But no one will remember, because that's the way things work in this country now.
Ye shall be punished for making such outrageous demands. I just thought that ought to be pointed out. And because, like I said, too often, I think with the attention we give politics and politicians, we sometimes miss the evils and sins of corporations.
Right, right. Well, I want to get into the E. Jean Carroll verdict in a second. But first, in the category of Trump always makes things worse for Trump, we would be remiss if we didn't talk about the now scuttled immigration deal, the bipartisan immigration deal that the White House was working out with congressional Republicans. And it was actually killed by Donald Trump himself. Trump always makes things worse for Trump now, because what's going to happen is every time he brings up the border and border security, Joe Biden and the Biden campaign can come back at him with, well, why'd you kill the deal? We were going to do that. And so Donald Trump walking into his own propeller, as we like to say here on the show.
I agree with you, except I don't agree necessarily that the deal is dead. I know that Mouse Speaker Mike Johnson.
Did you say Mouse Speaker?
Mouse Speaker. I'm making him not House Speaker, but Mouse Speaker Mike Johnson.
Yeah.
Said the deal's dead on arrival in the House. I believe that the deal is still possible in the Senate. I think there's some leverage there. I think some interesting things are happening when you factor in the comments of Lankford of Oklahoma.
Yeah.
And what he's pointed out here. I mean, what you and I definitely agree on, Bob, is either way, this is good for Biden.
Mm-hmm.
But what I see coming out of this is a defeat for Donald Trump
yeah.
and a victory for Joe Biden, in which the bipartisan deal does go through. And this is the beauty. This is what I'm enjoying watching. And I've been eager to make this point on today's show. And I may make it more than once because I'm so happy about it. And
that yeah, you're a happy boy today.
I am. And because first, it was the economy. First, Republicans said, oh, well, we got them now. Yeah. We got the Democrats now but on this economy thing. Yes, sir. And then the economy got better.
Yeah.
And then they go, well, immigration. We got them now. We got them. Look at the crisis at the border. Oh, we got them on immigration.
Uh-huh.
And now it looks like there could very well still be a bipartisan deal. In my view, it isn't dead yet.
Yeah.
If it dies, it will be Trump's fault. And Trump said he'd take the blame for that. But if it passes, and I'm holding out hope that it can,
mm-hmm.
It's a victory for Joe Biden, who, you know, Biden fixes the economy. He
yep.
fixes immigration mm-hmm. in a bipartisan way. Name a problem that Joe Biden can't or hasn't solved. Well, they're just every time they come up with an excuse not to reelect them, he gives us a reason to reelect him. So I think this is going beautifully.
Yeah, it's a win-win for the yeah. Biden campaign, because not yeah. only do they get the legislation, if what you say is true, then also, in addition to that, they can go after Donald Trump for trying to kill the deal in the first
right,
place.
Right.
And the other thing is, I think it's important for us to get the word out about Donald Trump's meddling in these negotiations.
Sure.
Because I don't think the word is getting out. I know anecdotally that some people don't realize that Donald Trump is the one who killed this bipartisan immigration deal.
I don't know. Trump himself, in a speech to his supporters, said that senators are blaming me for this, and I tell you what, I'll take the blame. And
yeah.
he's wearing that blame as a badge of honor. So he is getting the word out to his people
mm-hmm.
that he is the one that's holding up this bill.
Right.
If his people also hear the messages of Nikki Haley and Lankford of Oklahoma, you know, who knows what can happen or what's possible at that point.
So meantime, the president has promised to, quote, shut down the border when it becomes overwhelmed mm-hmm. if Congress passes a border security package.
That's not what some Democrats want to hear. That goes right. against, you know, the whole idea of Biden was to have a gentler a border policy, a more fair mm-hmm. and humane border policy than Trump. And now I think Biden has already issued more orders on immigration in his 3 years than Trump did in his 4 years.
Yeah.
So and still not to the satisfaction of Republicans. This deal, this bipartisan deal, and this is what Lankford is saying,
mm-hmm.
and this is what Haley is saying, this deal gives Republicans everything they've ever asked for and more.
Yeah.
Biden is intentionally swinging right on this issue to win back that part of the electorate, you know,
mm-hmm.
to solve the immigration problem, or at least address it in a similar way that he's addressed the economy. It wrangled that back into shape. So I don't know. I feel very optimistic about this. And yeah, it definitely is a win-win no matter how it turns out. But this is an exciting and interesting moment. The Republicans will never get a better deal than he's put on the table. He's given Republicans an offer they cannot refuse.
Yeah.
And yet they might. I don't know. We'll see. And I don't want to get us started on this whole secession thing, but yeah. I think we should at least mention today
the
standoff between Governor Greg Abbott of Texas
right.
and the United States federal government.
Mm-hmm.
It is a standoff between a state and the federal government.
Yeah.
The state is in the wrong here. The federal government has rights to move in and do some serious things. I'll be mm-hmm. interested to see what indeed happens. What makes me fearful is the knowledge that 25 other governors, 25 other states, governors or attorney generals, have fallen in line behind Governor Abbott. Now we're talking about 26 states that have, in effect, said boo to the union. In effect, have said, you know, F you, union. We're going to go our own way. Well, that's That's like secession. It's too close to secession, mm-hmm. and I don't like the way this feels.
Yeah, I don't know that the people supporting these Republicans and right. this posture they're taking on right. Lining up with Greg Abbott and the border. I don't think they understand what this means. I don't think they know what secession will actually mean for them personally.
This is fun and exciting.
It is fun. The thing is, I don't think they understand, first of all, that if Texas were to secede, which it won't do, Texas will not secede.
They need the money.
The thing that that will immediately do is strip Donald Trump of 38 electoral votes.
Yeah.
That would be a colossal, 40 electoral votes will be stripped away from Donald Trump. That's what matters. It's not Illinois and Maine and Colorado and being taken off the ballot in those states that will matter to Donald Trump in November. It's losing Texas's 40 electoral votes.
Do I hear a sizzling over by the fence by any chance? Don't be the
electric fence. Well, the other thing is the Republicans would lose a big chunk of House members and all of that. I'm not sure how the Democratic versus Republican delegations line up in Texas in terms of their total numbers. But we're talking about a lot of Republican members of Congress and senators that would lose their job in Congress if that were to happen. Plus,
boy, I'd hate to see a thing like that happen to that Ted Cruz fella.
Yeah.
He seems so nice.
I know. So many Republican voters specifically would lose their Social Security and Medicare right away.
This would be a deadly fence whizzing. This would be the type of fence whizzing that would kill you.
Mm-hmm, yes.
It's fatal.
So, you know, I tweeted something like that, and I talked about this with Kimberly at length on the after party, but I tweeted something about those ramifications of secession, and I think a lot of people took that to mean that I support this idea. I do not support this idea. We should not into this whole idea. And in fact, I invoked your name, Buzz. I said there was a lot of people in the replies under my tweet about this, posting that gif of Bugs Bunny sawing off Texas and Florida.
Glad I didn't see that.
The one that you love so much.
Yeah.
And that is absolutely nuts. Once you break up the United States, and by the way, I'd like to emphasize the word united United States. There's a reason for that being there. It's not an arbitrary adjective in the name of our nation.
Not only do some, I hate to call them conservatives, not only do some MAGA delight in the idea and think it would be fun and exciting to secede from the Union, boy, that'd show them, and then we could do things our way.
Yeah.
You know, they're looking at the big picture. Mm-hmm. Likewise, sadly, there are a number of progressives who, say, oh, let them go. Let Texas go. Let Florida go. We don't need them. They're nothing but trouble. Get them out of here. And no, you don't want that either. We all need each other. There is power in a union, this has gone too far when you have a governor doing the George Wallace standoff with the federal government, and now 25 other states falling in line behind him. This does not bode well for our country.
You know the saying that if you start wearing sweatpants all day, you've given up? You know that?
I know it? I'm living it.
Well, supporting secession is like the geopolitical version of wearing sweatpants. So you've given up. You've given up on democracy if you support secession, either encouraging states that you don't like to secede or actually being one of the secessionists. That means you've given up on democracy. You've given up on the United States. You've given up on the Constitution. And you're also turning your back on the countless millions of American men and women who have sacrificed their lives to defend the unity of this nation.
That's right.
How dare you take such a convenient bullshit escape hatch like secession?
But it sounds fun and exciting.
Yeah, it's fucking stupid. It is. Please do not encourage them. Please do not support this. The whole idea of America is that we work this shit out. And if you give up on that very crucial aspect of democracy, you've given up on democracy itself.
Say what you will about Florida, and I won't go into all of the reasons I think, you know, all of its positives.
Yeah.
But I will tell you this. It was purple when I moved here. It had voted for Obama twice, and in my heart, I believe it can do so again. Mm. That Democrats here can and perhaps will rise again. And so I don't give up hope. You shouldn't give up hope either. In fact, I think the rest of the country should be trying to help the Democrats of Florida and help the Democrats of Texas and Missouri and Kansas and the rest of it. We need your help. We need that lifeline. And in return, we can offer you members of Congress,
yeah,
members of the Senate, tax dollars.
Well, let us step over to E. Jean Carroll and the jury award from Friday, which naturally, once again, we all know this, happened right after Kimberly and I finished recording the after party. So just as we were done, then, you know, the whole thing, the stuff that we were talking about regarding E. Jean Carroll and what are the damages going to be? Oh, I think it's going to be this many figures. Oh, I think it's going to be that many figures. And then suddenly, as soon as we're done with the show, there it is. It turns out it's obviously $83 million, $11 million for repairing E. Jean Carroll's reputation, $7.3 million for emotional harm, $65 million in punitive damages.
The jury was challenged to take into account what Trump could afford and what it would take in the way of a penalty to make him feel this. You know, what he didn't shut up the first time with a $5 million verdict. What do you guys think it's going to take this time? What do you think? What number do you think he'll listen to now? And then that's what they came up with. So now Trump owes $88.3 million with interest.
Yeah.
And a lot of people ask, well, he doesn't have to pay this, or he's going to appeal. And let me explain how this works based on what I have read in the New York Times. For now, while he appeals both cases, Trump need not immediately pay Ms. Carroll or the state of New York in that case that's about to come down. That's a $370 million and growing, because they just made new discoveries in that case that could bump it up from the 370. We may talk about that later. But he could pay the court system, which will hold the money while the appeal is pending. That's what he did last year when a jury ordered him to pay Ms. Carroll $5 million in a related case.
Yeah.
So what happened when the jury ordered Trump to pay Carroll $5 million last year, Trump gave the court $5.5 million because you have to put down 110%. That's what you're required to do. If he has choices, he could try to secure an appeal bond. Actually, that's for the appeal bond. Mm-hmm. He could try to get an appeal bond, and then he wouldn't have to pay the full amount up front with this $83 million. That would make sure that he has to pay the money, but they wouldn't be able to collect the money while his appeals are being heard. If he were to go out and get a bond like that, it would require him to find a company willing to write the bond at a time that he faces significant legal and financial jeopardy. So if it wouldn't be cheap, the value of the bond would be 110% of the verdict. So in the case of Ms. Carroll, it would cost him $92 million on top of the 5.5 that he's already put down.
Yeah.
And then he'd have to pay the bonding company even more than he owes. And then he would owe interest to Ms. Carroll and to the state of New York for any delays in payment there.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what he's looking at in both of these cases. So we are talking about amounts of money that, from all accounts I've read, will force him to sell some of his properties.
And this is all to say that, yes, Donald Trump has to pay either the entire sum or a big chunk of the sum.
Right, right.
In order to move forward with his obvious appeal. And already Alina Haba has announced that they're going to appeal this thing. But that means that Donald Trump has to dish out this cash to some extent, as you were outlining.
Right.
And so the question then becomes, does he even have the money? And if he doesn't have the money, what the hell is he gonna do? Right. Not only has he been found liable for raping E. Jean Carroll.
Yes.
So there's that, and the comeuppance for this, and the fact that E. Jean Carroll has now vowed to give a significant portion, if not all of the money, to other Donald Trump rape victims. Or some other resource, some other organization that Donald Trump hates. I love this strategy from top to bottom. This is the accountability that we've been waiting for, and it's just the beginning of it. And so, but we all wait in eager anticipation to find out where he's going to get $83 million in cash. Now, in his April deposition last year, he said he's got $400 million in cash, like liquid assets that he can just draw from.
Right.
So there are a couple of things about that. He may have lied in his deposition about that money. Secondly, it's one of those things that would certainly apply to Letitia James's lawsuit in that separate case in New York. So if he doesn't have that money, where is he going to get it? So he would have to probably sell off a bunch of assets, right?
Exactly. From what I've read, from what I understand, he can afford the E. Jean Carroll verdict, even in its totality. Even if you look at it as just shy of $100 million, he can afford that. That's, man, can you imagine being able to say that?
Yeah.
He can afford that. What he can't afford is, on top of that, the New York State decision. In his civil fraud case, he cannot afford them both. He would barely be able to afford the civil fraud case in New York, and may not even be able to afford that with the new charges that are being added, the new information that's come in that could increase the amount that he is compelled to pay the state of New York. So, that's the one that's going to break him.
Yeah.
Certainly the combination of the two will force it, will either burn up all his cash and or force him to sell properties. This is, together, these things are going to affect Donald Trump.
One of the things I like most about this, Buzz, is whatever puts Donald Trump under severe stress is great. It's one of those things that makes me happy, because the more he's stressed out, the more he's freaked out, the more he's glancing over into the corner and seeing that go bag, as I was saying earlier.
Right.
You know.
Well, or just he's just coming apart of the seams. I don't know if he's looking at fleeing. Maybe I wouldn't rule it out.
Oh, I don't know.
He's one of those guys who is dumb enough to stay in it to the end.
Yeah.
He'll keep fighting until he can't anymore. I think that's his nature.
It's an incredible thing that he thought behaving the way he behaved in that courtroom was actually going to help him. I mean,
I know.
Talk about another example of derangement. Like, this is going to, how is this going to help? Maybe he sees it as one of those things where he knows he's going to lose. He knows he's going to have to pay a lot of damages in this particular case. And so he decided, well, you know what? I got to create an upside for myself. So at least maybe I'll get some sort of political benefit by, storming off during Robbie Kaplan's closing arguments whatever it might have been. Yeah.
May as well have some fun with this.
Yeah. But I mean, that's one of the things we learned during Rachel's interview with E. Jean Carroll yesterday is that that Donald Trump's behavior was reinforcing the entire centerpiece of the case, right? So as they were trying to say that this guy feels like he's above the law, he doesn't have to obey rules, and he's an obnoxious jerk, and there he is in the courtroom being all of those things.
With Alina Habba, descriptions I've heard of Habba's behavior as an attorney in that courtroom were good reports when Trump wasn't present, and then she behaved in an idiotic fashion when he was present, and that was because he was present, and he, at those times, was telling her what to do.
Yeah.
But the other thing we learned from the E. Jean Carroll team is that when push came to shove and the courtroom was the courtroom and the judge was in charge, Trump, not such a big man.
No.
Not so scary.
Absolutely not. And that's the centerpiece of all of it. I mean, E. Jean Carroll said yesterday that he was nothing. That's one of the big quotes that we can take away from E. Jean Carroll's remarks after this decision was handed down. The fact that she's continuing to go after him and, in a sense, kind of trying to bait him a little bit. Because she also revealed yesterday that if he says another defamatory thing, then it's back to court. And so the question, in addition to all the other questions, is he going to say something else? And I don't think he can help it. I think he has to at some point. I think he's going to blurt something because he can't not do it. It's so woven into his brand. It's so woven into who he is as a tyrant, as a petty little man, that he cannot resist. It is the part of his toxic masculinity. It's as ingrained into his persona as the orange face makeup is, or the hair, or the suits, or all the rest of it, the Make America Great Again hats, and so on. He cannot not blurt awful shit about E. Jean Carroll or whoever else.
I think he's going to try because it's getting expensive for him. I don't think he cares to have to put even more money in escrow with the court than he already has and that he's already going to. I think instead we're going to see him cower away from that subject. Maybe, Bob, if somebody cornered him with a TV light and a camera and stuck a microphone in his face, I think it probably goaded him into saying something. That's almost like forcing a penalty. I think it's getting expensive enough for him that he'll stay with it. I agree about your nature, but I think even when it comes to money, which is the thing he really is the only compassion he has in his life is for money. I think he'll bow to that god and defer.
Yeah. Well, meantime, thank you, Rudy Giuliani. I hope Rudy Giuliani keeps going around stumping for Donald Trump between now and November. If he keeps saying things like the clip I'm about to play here from, I think it's from Real America News, one of those Fox News copycat cable networks way down.
Oh, yeah. OAN's in big trouble today, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, here's Rudy Giuliani suggesting that Donald Trump didn't commit rape. He committed sexual assault. So thank you, Rudy Giuliani, for confirming all of this. Here we go.
Well, the judge is a disgrace to the greatest court in America. It's called the Mother Court, the United States District Court for the Southern District of New York. It's had some of the greatest judges in American history. This judge is a pure disgrace. He's telling a lawyer what questions to ask. That's totally ridiculous.
No, he didn't.
He won't let him defend himself?
No.
And how is it inconsistent? Let's say he was, first of all, he was found not guilty or not liable for rape. It was sexual assault, not rape. And second, you can be guilty of rape and still a person can be a wacko.
Yeah.
That was a defamation. You're allowed to still defend yourself against defamation.
Okay, so in the process of talking about Donald Trump's defamation lawsuit here, he actually defamed E. Jean Carroll. He basically called E. Jean Carroll a wacko. Yeah, you could be raped and still be a wacko. That was Donald Trump's case? Is that what Rudy's saying here? That I raped E. Jean Carroll, but you know what? She's a wacko. That's Donald Trump's lawyer, or one of his lawyers. Rudy Giuliani. So please keep talking. Please keep saying that a lot, Rudy. Please keep reinforcing the fact that Donald Trump sexually assaulted E. Jean Carroll. And, you know, you can use those terms. It, you know, obviously we're all interpreting it to mean the same thing, that it's rape.
True enough. Now, he, as you know, Rudy can't go on Fox News anymore. They won't let him on there. So he goes on OAN, One America News. But it may not be on the air much longer. If the Smartmatic voting company has its way, because in its lawsuit against OAN for the lies about the 2020 election, it's been learned through discovery that the president of OAN was sending an email to Sidney Powell, who was Trump's campaign lawyer at the time, that he sent her a spreadsheet with the passwords of employees of the company Smartmatic. That's illegal. OAN broke the law when they did that, and they're going to be taken to task for that, certainly by Smartmatic in its lawsuit, but perhaps criminally as well.
I thought at some point OANN was taken off the air.
No, not yet. No. I mean, some cable companies may have bounced it.
Okay.
But no, they're still in business, and it's maybe the only place Rudy can go to talk. I mean, there are a couple of those right-wing networks out there. But yeah, no, it's still on some grids of some providers. So yeah, it's still on the air. It just may not be much longer. In fact, somebody may be going to jail from OAN.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. Obviously, this is one of those things where it's yet another entity, human network, etc., that as soon as they get close to Donald Trump, it's poison. It's they're shocked. They're electrocuted by Donald Trump.
By the electric fence, yes.
It invariably happens, right? They just keep whizzing on that electric fence, right? Don't whiz on the
electric fence. We try and try to tell them, and they don't listen.
Yes. He was nothing. I love this. Kimberly's trying to start that as a hashtag. E. Jean Carroll referring to Donald Trump by saying he was nothing. The emperor has no clothes.
Yeah.
He's just a small, brittle man.
You know, it's an apt description. The emperor has no clothes. It's always been, I think, from the beginning, an apt description of Donald Trump. It just never caught on because none of us wants to visualize that.
Right. Yes, because all I think about is that statue that they were transporting around from city to city during a period of time there. Yeah.
The diaper baby balloon was bad enough.
That's right. Okay, well, lots more to talk about here. Donald Trump can't remember what was on his cognitive exam. And, you know, this is just another one of those things that gets flushed down the memory hole, except on this show. We're going to play the clip of Donald Trump talking about the cognitive exam that he took, the man, woman, camera, TV thing.
Right. Which also isn't on the exam.
Yeah. And that was like, how many years ago was that? 3-4 years ago when he was doing that?
4.
And he's still talking about it. Maybe you shouldn't call attention to your cognitive exam, Donald, especially when you can't remember what was on it. Plus, the RNC is in trouble. We're going to talk about that, too. And we've got a great example in terms of how journalism is actually done. There's a great Q&A that took place on the CBS News affiliate in Miami, where Congresswoman Maria Elvira Salazar from Florida, the 27th District, Florida, completely walked into this same trap that Republicans do every single time there's an election. They like to pose with those giant, like, novelty Ed McMahon checks whenever there's a piece of legislation that they actually voted against. So they take credit for something they voted against.
Exactly.
So we'll talk about that here in a second with a great example for how journalists should be questioning Republicans like this, especially the more weaselly ones. And an example for how journalism shouldn't be done from our friends at NBC News. So we'll talk about that, too.
Them
plus,
again.
Yeah, oh, my God, there's some more details about that pill mill that was being run out of the White House, the Trump White House medical office, just handing out controlled substances left and right, like Skittles. And so we've got more information on that, including the actual document listing some of the medications. I mean, we talked about Provigil and Ambien on Thursday's show. But this particular document showing the kind of medications that were distributed indicates some much more serious meds that were being handed around the White House. And the question is, my
money's on meth.
Yeah. Well, the question is why was all this?
Why?
Yeah, we're going to get into it a little bit later. And right. And also some ballot news, some 14th Amendment news in the offing here. So lots more to come on today's show. Thank you for joining us. Back after these words.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
You can't always get a clean you can feel good about inside and out unless you're using Bubble Genius bath and body products. See, Bubble Genius is a woman-owned small business proudly creating our vegan-friendly products in America and supporting other U.S. businesses by buying our ingredients and supplies from them as often as possible. Plus, you'll be hard-pressed to find packaging as recyclable as ours. Visit BubbleGenius.com and check out our cause-related items, too, like our global warming soap and a lot more. We donate our proceeds for those items to worthy causes, like organizations combating climate change and mountaintop removal mining. Good stuff like that. We also send our products to the troops overseas through our Buy a Soldier a Shower campaign. Because the least we can do is keep them smiling and smelling great, right? So visit BubbleGenius.com and feel good and clean. Bubble Genius, doing our part to make the world a better place, one bathtub at a time. That's BubbleGenius.com.
Bob Seska! All-time favorite!
to the doctor, I'm feeling a little blue. The doctor said, now listen, man, I'll tell you what we'll do. Oh, oh, hey, hey, oh, oh, hey. The crown he bled and then he said, Bogliacci is my name. Glad he told Judge Carter, it wasn't by my will.
Yeah, this guy is one of the best of the best. Incredible singer, songwriter, musician, recording artist, Matt Jaffe. And this is a single called Wicked World. And if you're a fan of animation, you gotta go watch the music video for this. Animated by the great Bill Plimpton. One of the modern animation geniuses. Very distinct style. You'll recognize it as soon as you see it. And, of course, we got a link in the description to support Matt Jaffe. Please do get his records into your record collection now. What are you waiting for? Run, don't walk. Do it. Click it. Click those links. Go to bobseska.com. Find this episode dated 1/30/24. Click that link. That's the first thing you should click. Then, when you see Matt Jaffe's name in the description, click that link, too, and support his work. And also, by the way, if you're a recording artist, make sure to submit your work to the show. bobseska.com/music. I haven't mentioned that. And I should. I should mention that more often. Bad DJ. Bad DJ. Okay, so I on the heels of me forgetting to talk about how to submit to the show, if you're a recording artist, let's talk about how Donald Trump can't remember what was on his cognitive exam. This is something that, again, makes me scratch my head, Buzz, because he does this all the time, where he shouldn't be talking about certain things. Mm-hmm. Where he's just re-injecting a scandal into the conversation over and over again. It's this ongoing thing where with normal politicians and normal governments, when there is a scandal, they will say, it's not the policy of this administration to comment on an ongoing investigation or something like that, to try to avoid reinforcing the existence of the scandal. Well, Donald Trump does that all the time. He just can't shut the fuck up about all these things, including the fact that I guess it was his maybe second or third year as president. He took a cognitive exam.
Right.
Administered by Dr. Ronnie Jackson, which is a whole other can of worms that we're going to get into here in today's show. But
not a doctor.
Let's play this clip and break it down by individual lies and misremembering. So here is Donald Trump from one of his rallies over the weekend.
Yeah, it's a tough test. The first couple of questions are easy, like they'll have a lion, a giraffe, a whale, and a shark.
Okay, a lion, giraffe, a whale, and a shark, he says, on the cognitive exam.
No!
Only one of those animals is actually on the cognitive exam. I'm looking at the exam right here. It's the Montreal Cognitive Assessment, or MoCA.
MoCA, yes.
Right. And so under the naming section, it's a one-page exam. He's making it seem like it's the SATs. Right. Under the naming section, it shows a lion, a rhino, and a camel. There's no giraffe, no shark, or whatever the...
No whale.
And so he's forgetting what was on the cognitive exam, therefore illustrating why he had to take a cognitive exam in the first place.
And they'll say, which one's the lion, okay? And that's all the press covered, the first question. They didn't cover the last question. Multiply 4,733. Multiply times 7. Divide, without paper and pencil, by the way.
Okay.
Divide it by 4. Add up another 37.5. I remember
point
that.
Five.
And what's your number?
Okay. None of that is on the test.
Of course not.
Especially the part about how you can't do it with pencil and paper.
Right. Like, nobody remembers. Nobody memorizes this test. He did. He wants you to believe that he memorized this test. No one ever has. No one who's ever taken this test can recite the actual question to you.
4,733 times 7 divided by 4 plus 37.5, he said. I love the little details, the minute details in his elaborate lies.
That's the sign of a great liar, yes.
Right, right. Adds those little nuances to it, like 37 and a half.
And as cops know, that's usually what does them in.
Right, right. But there's no way that would ever be on a cognitive exam. And he says he aced it by taking questions that he very clearly did not take.
Right.
37.5. All right. Yeah, just
now, where we agree, where you and I agree on this is it's total evidence that his cheese is sliding off the cracker.
That is absolutely true.
We both agree on this, that this is what he said, and we both agree this is evident. You say it's forgetting. I say it's not caring. He never cared what the truth about this test was in the first place. He knows that they will believe anything he tells them.
Right.
So he's, you know, I mean, I've worked with a DJ who knew how to tell stories like this, you know, and I know how they can add to the story that which was never there.
Yeah.
And I know other people know this too.
Yeah.
For me, I mean, you're right. I'm sure he doesn't remember, but I don't think that's what he's doing. I think what we're seeing here is him not caring whether it's true or not, because they'll just buy anything.
Yeah, yeah. It's like the story I told on Stephanie Miller's show last Wednesday, which was that I knew this kid when I was, 5, 6 years old. His name was Robbie Chase. And he came over to our house and proceeded to spill Kool-Aid all over our carpet. Oh, and then as my mom's mopping it up, he announces to my mom, "Hey, don't worry, I'm bionic like my brother." And it was such an obvious and casual lie that even I understood, well, there's no way he's bionic like his brother. First of all, you can't be bionic. That's not a thing. Right. Second of all, you're looping your brother into this lie that's an obvious lie. And so I always bring that up as an example for Donald Trump's obvious lying, and how his disciples either, one, don't care, or two, don't realize that he's lying. That's the broken bullshit detector thing that I've been talking about.
Yeah, and I think both are true. I think they don't know and they don't care.
All right.
How many people in this room could do it? Not too many. Or they give you six names in a row. I took a lot of heat on this. They give you six names in a row at the beginning. Sir, I'm going to give you six names. Good. They look at him. A chair. A hat. A badge. A necklace. And they vote.
Okay, none of that is on the test. It's,
of course.
Yeah, it's face velvet church daisy red. So he couldn't remember a single one of those words. And obviously, immediately after he took the cognitive exam, he said it was man, woman, camera, TV.
Right.
That's nowhere on the exam.
And the guy who wrote the test said that's impossible, because you wouldn't put, if you were to administer a test looking for the kinds of results we're looking for here, you wouldn't put two similar things together. You wouldn't put man and woman together. You wouldn't put TV and camera together. So he said it's preposterous that would never have been on the list. And indeed, as you've just heard from Bobby, it's not.
Yeah, yeah. And by the way, they come back to it under the delayed recall section of the test. So initially you get the memory portion of the test, and you get two tries at it. First trial, second trial, face, velvet, church, daisy red. And then after a couple more questions, they go back to see if you remembered those words, face, velvet, church, daisy red. And obviously he did not. And I wonder what his actual test results were, because we'll never know. I mean, unless maybe someday in the future that gets declassified in some way. My guess is Ronnie Jackson probably rolled up the test and smoked it.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, something happened to it. Okay, so moving on, the RNC. This is, I mean, we'll add this to the list of reasons why the polls are not reflecting what this election is going to look like. Because not only is Donald Trump in financial trouble, far lagging behind Joe Biden's fundraising. I think Joe Biden's fourth quarter fundraising was something like $117 million. And Donald Trump's was something like $9 million in fundraising. Well, now the RNC is in this financial crisis where it's looking to open up another line of credit. Says here, according to the Washington Times, by the way, G. Gordon Liddy's favorite newspaper. And
that quaint little alternative newspaper.
Is that what he used to say?
He used to say that about the Washington Post.
Oh, okay. All right.
I thought he'd use it to diminish his Times.
Right. I used to remember him bleeping the word Washington Post.
Yeah, they tried different things at different times.
Yeah. The cash
it's all about owning the libs and has been always.
That's right, right. The cash-strapped Republican National Committee will consider opening a line of credit when members gather for their winter meeting that starts Tuesday in Las Vegas. The Washington Times has learned the RNC's money problems have been mounting since officials announced last summer a $15 million shortfall from projected fundraising levels, with big dollar and small dollar contributions drying up.
Gee, I wonder how that happened with Trump as the head of the party.
I know. The party of fiscal responsibility can't keep their books straight here. And by the way, Donald Trump turned a $5 million fine into an $83 million fine. There's your businessman president, ladies and gentlemen. Big dollar donors weren't giving last year because they didn't want to support former President Donald Trump. And small dollar contributions were not coming in because these donors did not think the RNC was sufficiently supporting Mr. Trump. So it's coming in from both sides, or I should say not coming in from both sides.
Right, right, right.
Meantime, the DNC reported having about $20 million in the bank as of November 30, more than double the RNC's $9 million in cash on hand, according to filings with the FEC. And by the way, CNN's Caitlin Collins has revealed that former President Trump was secretly behind the Republican National Committee's plan to name him the presumptive GOP nominee for president, even though he publicly renounced it after it faced widespread backlash.
Of course, yeah, but before we get away from the money that Republicans don't have and the Democrats do,
yes.
Outside of that, that's that $20 million of the Democrats, that's chump change even compared to the $250 million that has already been spent by a Biden-supporting PAC to buy advertising time in swing states across the country.
Wow.
A quarter of $1 billion in advertising time has already been purchased by Biden-supporting PAC. Strap yourselves in. We're just getting started.
So I guess the latest word along those lines is that a big part of the Biden message is going to be making this election a referendum on Trump.
To a large extent, yeah. I mean, I think we have to go on a number of fronts, including the improved economy, as people continue to feel the benefits from that. I want everyone to know, you know, who brought that. And so we can still do that, too. But I think it's right and proper that we make Trump the central, because, and you were right about this as well, the more we hear about Trump, the more we hear from Trump, despite the fatigue that we have, it's that fatigue that will help us defeat him.
Yes, yes. And I'm glad you brought that up again, because now it gives me an excuse to reinforce what I've been saying.
Yeah, please do.
One of the things I'm discovering is that the word about some of the things Donald Trump says at his rallies, certainly his truths on Truth Central, certainly some of his interviews, the word is not getting out to a lot of folks. And I'm talking about casual political observers. And these are the people that we need to get the message out to. What Donald Trump is saying on a daily basis, that gets lost in the mix somehow. And we could discuss whatever reasons that might be, a complicit news media, et cetera, however you want to define the issue of messaging in terms of Donald Trump's most obnoxious things. And I think that contributes to what Joe Biden intends to do with this campaign, which is to make this a referendum on Donald Trump, so that these people are going to hear about some of Donald Trump's worst, most awful things, some of the things that are getting lost in the mix, getting lost in the noise. And that's important.
We're seeing this with the economy, and Bob, I believe we will see it with Trump's insanity. Yeah. As we've just witnessed, and I've said this to you for years, the public is on a curve behind the curve of reality. So it takes the public a little while to catch up and catch on. You're right. People have not been paying attention, but that process of paying attention is about to begin if it hasn't already.
Yeah.
That's about to turn around. Get ready for your subscribers to increase, because this is going to be a year where people will be paying attention.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah.
We hear about, everybody's disgusted because it's Biden and Trump again, and we choose neither of the above. But it is getting out there more and more in mainstream media and elsewhere, not just here, but a number of places are hanging on to Trump's inability to, you know, inability to communicate, his the fact that he really is slipping increasingly. He can't get out a sentence. He gropes for words more than I do. He's really, he's losing it. And the examples of that are getting more numerous and harder to ignore.
Yeah.
And that will play into, and it'll be part of the fatigue that will make people just say, make it stop, vote mm-hmm. for Biden.
Yeah, and one of the things that I think needs much more attention than it's getting is the economy, stupid. And that is not only the success of the Joe Biden economy, but what a Trump economy would look like if we got to that awful eventuality. And what I've been trying to reinforce online and certainly here on the show is the fact that, well, chances are history has showed us that every time there's a Republican president, a recession soon follows. And so that's one of those things that I think gets lost in the mix.
And it will. I'm afraid it will continue to. I mean, bless your heart. I think that's important to keep saying. We've always agreed that when it comes to the truth, you can't say it often enough.
Yeah.
But I also worry, as you know, about the effectiveness of message. And mm-hmm. right now we're addressing a country that's, Trump had a great economy. Biden had a terrible economy. And that's in their narrow vision. That's all they see. Mm-hmm. And you can tell them that every previous Republican president gave us a recession. But I just don't know if they're going to hear it, because all they see is Biden, Trump.
Well, it's a matter of small moves. It's a matter of just chipping away at the messaging coming from the other side. And the other side's messaging is entirely flawed. The Republicans have been using propaganda for decades now to claim to be the party of fiscal responsibility, the party of the economy, and so forth, when in fact that's absolutely not true. And you can look at the historic record to prove that it's not true. And so one of the things that I've been circulating on social media is this article that was in the New York Times, dated February 2021. So this is right at the beginning of the Biden administration, showing that, or comparing and contrasting Republican economies versus Democratic economies. And one of the conclusions that they drew in the context of this article is, I'm going to read this point blank. It says here, Democrats have been more willing to heed economic and historical lessons about what policies actually strengthen the economy, while Republicans have often clung to theories that they want to believe, like the supposedly magical power of tax cuts and deregulation. Democrats, in short, have been more pragmatic. And that has resulted in stronger Democratic economies versus weaker Republican economies. That's just the way it goes. And we see that being illustrated right now with the Biden administration, where there was inevitably going to be a recession. A bagel, as they say on the West Wing. There was going to be a recession in 2022. There was going to be a recession in 2023. None of that materialized. None of it actually happened.
Right.
Why? Because Democrats know how to be competent stewards of the economy by making small moves here and there, adjusting interest rates with the Fed and spending like the Inflation Reduction Act and the bipartisan infrastructure legislation, the CHIPS Act and so forth. We're going to talk about that a little bit more in a second.
Well, and one thing I do think will sell is to continue to remind people, because this is a hot button phrase. So I believe it will sell, to continue to remind people that Republicans are still the trickle down party.
Yeah.
And how has trickle down worked for you historically?
Yeah.
So that's one anchor that we can pin to Republicans that I think does connect in the minds of voters and help sell the point. So in addition to selling Biden's accomplishments, which we're going to continue to see, I mean, things are going to continue to get better this year for people financially.
Absolutely.
So as if they weren't already better, they're going to get better. And as they do, people are going to feel that. And that's an excellent time to point to Biden's accomplishments and then point to the Republicans and say, and they're still doing the trickle down thing.
Okay, let's talk about the great Jim DeFede. I wish I knew exactly how to pronounce this guy's name, so forgive me, Jim. Yeah, he's a journalist with CBS News in Miami. Jim DeFede, D-E-F-E-D-E is how you pronounce his or say spell his
Jim
last name.
Maybe Jim DeFade.
Jim DeFeedy, something like that. Whatever it is, I'm getting it wrong. So, yes, I'm weeping already for my comments. But let's listen to this clip. This is Jim DeFeedy from CBS News in Miami interviewing Congresswoman Maria Elvira Salazar. She's a Republican from Florida, the 27th district down there, voted against all these signature achievements of the Biden administration, the things that have juiced the economy, that have created jobs. She's against all of them until it's campaign time. Oh, I'm going to take credit for all those things. We've seen this for so many years. I remember watching Bobby Jindal with like a giant Ed McMahon check taking credit for legislation. I think it was the Recovery Act that he opposed, but then taking credit for the money that was coming to his state. This is something that Republicans do all the time. They vote against spending legislation. Then they go home and they take credit for that spending.
Right.
I know we're in the post-hypocrisy era. Like, hypocrisy doesn't matter anymore. Consistency doesn't matter anymore. But here it is. This is how journalism should be done. This is this reporter not letting Congresswoman Salazar off the hook.
You were at FIU and you presented a check for $650,000 to help small businesses at FIU. But you voted against the bill that gave the money that you then signed a check for and handed and had a photo op, the Consolidated Appropriations Act of 2023, right? You voted against that bill.
I right now, you have to give me more details, but I do know that every time I have an opportunity to bring money to my constituents, I do so. I just did $400,000. But look,
you voted against. You voted against the CHIPS and Science Act, right?
Listen, I need to ask my staff, but what are we looking at the $40 million that I have brought to this community?
No, what's
aren't you proud of me? Aren't you proud of the $40 million that I brought?
But how
aren't
much?
You proud that I wrote the Dignity Act? Haven't I? Let's talk about the America's Act.
Wait a second. One second.
Tell me.
The money that you talk about, the $40 million that you bring back to the district, sometimes that money comes from bills that you voted against. You voted against the CHIPS Act, and yet you praise the fact that the South Florida Climate Resilience Tech Hub is going to be started in Miami, right? You voted against the infrastructure bill, and you talk about all the money that comes back to the airport. So at the same time that you're taking credit for the money that you bring back to the district, in Washington, you're voting against these projects on party line votes.
Listen, I think last cycle. I cannot really remember right now, but just look.
Let's look
at the America's Act, which is what I'm going to.
You don't want to explain why you voted
really
against
cannot, I mean, right now, and I'm not trying to be a politician. There's so many bills that I've introduced that I know that many
these are
of
bills
them
that you voted against.
That I understand, and but it's okay.
Sometimes
I vote
bills.
And sometimes I don't. But let's look at the positive. Let's look at the $40 million that I brought.
Yeah, let's look at all the money that I voted against.
Back to the original lie.
Yep. So she seemed to think that doing this would be better than admitting that she voted against this legislation that she's taking credit for.
It seems like they all do it. It's just, as you point out, not often a journalist tries to pin them down on it.
Yep. Of course, what would normally happen, especially in the national press, would be, oh, well, let's bring on Democrat so-and-so and let's start attacking them, too, for, you know, balance. So meantime, there was on the other side of the coin here, on the other side of the journalistic integrity coin, this was a tweet sent out by NBC News on the 28th. So this is just a couple of days ago. The White House medical unit had, quote, severe and systemic problems with their pharmacy operations and provided health care to ineligible staffers before the Biden administration, according to a scathing inspector general report.
Right.
Nowhere in that tweet is the word Trump.
Right.
Nowhere in that tweet was the name Ronnie Jackson, which would have been appropriate.
Gee, what was before the Biden administration, which I believe is the terminology they used there.
Right. Right. So naturally, what people see as they're scrolling through their Twitter timeline is they see the White House and then they see Biden administration. Oh, I guess there's a drug problem in the Biden administration, when that is, in fact, not the case. So, and as far as I can tell, I mean, I'm just looking at the tweet right here. Obviously, this has not been deleted.
So heartbreaking. This just crushes me. This just breaks my heart. This is not how journalism is supposed to work.
Yeah, and I wonder if AI is writing some of this stuff, too. I mean, I you know what? I take that back, because this is such a colossal fuck-up, so poorly worded. Right. That I got to believe that it's some sort of PA or intern or something
poorly
like that.
Poorly educated human, yes.
Yeah, whoever's running NBC News social media completely bungled it.
There's a clear bias there, and it's in the headline. That's where, you know, that's where they put the most bias. Some of the articles actually, you know, seem fair, but people don't read the articles. They read the headlines, and the headlines are designed to mislead, it seems to me, in so many cases.
So you want to talk about drugs here in a second? Let's
do I ever.
All right, we're going to talk about drugs right after these words.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Bob Seska plays more music. We're lost in darkness. Some days we can't find sparks, yet we keep reaching and keep climbing, trying hard to bottle lightning. Some days we lose the light, but now I am shining bright. I'm walking with my headphones, soaking up the sunshine, singing every word like ooh.
Oh, this is the great Bitter Elegance.
Loving my lifeline.
And a song called Headphones. I want to say this was released last year. Doesn't matter, because you should get it into your record collection now. Link in the description, of course, to support the Bitter Elegance, one of the bands that have been with us since we started playing independent recording artists here on the show. So we thank them for sharing their incredible work with us.
Both of today's songs sound like hits to me.
All right. We talked about this on Thursday, but there are additional details that have come to light since we had our discussion with the Goth Ninjas on Thursday's show. And this was this Pentagon report proving what John Tester was saying during Ronnie Jackson's nomination process to the VA, which is that the White House Medical Office under Ronnie Jackson was just a pill mill, handing out all kinds of things. And at the time, Thursday, we were talking about a couple of the medications that we had initially discussed when John Tester released his findings during that confirmation process that, by the way, failed. Ronnie Jackson had to withdraw his name. Right. But that way, and we were talking about Provigil and Ambien. But this document came out as part of the report indicating or listing some of the actual medications that were illegally distributed or casually distributed throughout the White House.
Was it the blue meth?
It was the blue meth. That's right. Some of the medications, my God, makes you wonder who's taking morphine in the White House. Because there are multiple instances of distribution of morphine. There's multiple instances of distribution of fentanyl, multiple instances of distribution of ketamine. I mean, these are serious drugs. Ketamine is like an anesthetic. Like, who's asking for an anesthetic?
Well, there were parties. guests to entertain.
Yeah. It's got a list or a category here on the document saying ordered by, and then there's another one that says received by, but that's all blacked out.
Right.
So I would love to correlate who's getting the fentanyl and morphine and ketamine.
Doctor patient privilege, I guess. But yeah, yeah. But the numbers tell a story on their own. Wasn't there a story? I seem to remember a story about a bowl on Ronnie Jackson's desk from which people could take a certain kind of pill. I don't even remember what the pill was. But as far as some of the, I imagine every administration has its consumption of both Ambien and what did you say, the one Edgel?
Provigil. Yeah.
You know, I imagine because of the international travel, the jet lag, diplomat, you know, so I imagine there's some of that, but these are huge amounts, and it's really not even so important. And we know Ronnie Jackson was behind it, so that's the from. The two we don't know, and maybe it's better if we don't. But what we do know is the numbers on the drugs that were handed out and the kinds of drugs and the numbers attached to them. Those are shocking.
I'm trying to think if there would be any reason why someone would need morphine inside the West Wing, or working inside the White House.
In low doses, it can, you know, it doesn't mess with you. I mean, they're like a dental work. You might get a low dose orally of morphine, and, you know, it's not even strong enough to abuse, unless, of course, you took great quantities of it.
Yeah, this is, I see here, 10 milligrams per milliliter of morphine, and the total quantity is 20. 200 milligrams of morphine on multiple occasions here. And all the dates for this are 2019.
Sure.
So this is definitely during the Trump administration.
During the final year of the Trump administration.
Yeah. Well, the other thing, going back to Provigil real quick, and in fact, a lot of these meds, they were overpaying for it.
Of course.
Between 2017 and 2019, the White House medical unit spent an estimated $46,000 for brand name Ambien, which is 174 times more expensive than the generic equivalent.
What they don't tell you is the brand name is Trump.
Over the same three-year period, the unit also spent an estimated $98,000 for brand name Provigil, which is 55 times more expensive than the generic equivalent. So there is maybe a drug abuse component, obviously, to this, but then there's also an overspending taxpayer dollars component to this. Once again, this is the businessman administration.
Right.
And they're overspending on all these drugs, which they were illegally distributing to White House staffers.
But Bob, and during the Biden administration, somebody left weed in one of the telephone boxes.
It was a teeny tiny amount of cocaine, wasn't it?
Oh, that's what it was. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a small little teeny tiny amount, one of those teeny tiny little Ziploc bags of cocaine. So that is continuing to play itself out.
Yeah. I think even caffeine should be limited in those circumstances.
Yeah. And again, it's important to note here that this is the Trump administration. And I think that is one of those things that we can work into the conversation between now and November, probably helpful. That and we know that this is probably not going to be a major prong of the Biden campaign's re-election strategy. So one of those things that we need to do our part to get the message out and all of this. Be the messenger.
Maybe Trump could use it. You know, get drugs back in the White House. Vote Trump.
That's right. Yeah. Oh, and Nikki Haley was targeted with another swatting attack.
Oh, boy.
We've been talking about this in recent weeks, where opponents of Donald Trump have suddenly been interrupted in the middle of the night by SWAT teams descending on their homes.
Right.
Like that last part of National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. Yeah, and that's happening a lot. These petty bastards are...
Not funny when it happens in real life.
No, definitely not. Oh, and by the way, as we wrap up here, here's what's certainly going to be a campaign ad for the Biden campaign. Here's Nikki Haley just praising how the Democrats handle spending versus the Republicans.
In the 2024 appropriations budget, Republicans put in $7.4 billion worth of pet projects and earmarks. Democrats put in $2.8 billion. Now you tell me who the big spenders are.
Thank you, Nikki Haley.
Wow. She's helping us do our work here.
Yeah, I know. That's incredible. The Democrats are fiscally responsible. The Republicans are not. And that doesn't even take into consideration the fact that they do all these giant tax cuts for the super rich without paying for them.
And she's very much helping us make the point that Trump has lost his mind.
Yeah. Oh, my God. So the fun continues on the shadow docket.
Always.
Yeah. We'll talk about the latest state that might be kicking Donald Trump off the ballot. Mm-hmm. We're also going to talk about, we have to send our well wishes and good vibes out to Cecile Richards.
Yes.
We'll talk about that during the shadow docket. Vivek's ridiculous Taylor Swift conspiracy theory.
I can't wait to get to this one.
We will talk about that and lots of other stuff on the shadow docket. Patreon.com/Bob Seska Show to subscribe. It's only $5 a month. And you get an extra 20 minutes, 30 minutes, sometimes longer than that, of content that you don't normally get. You don't get it all on the free show. Like, we're done here. If you're only listening to the free show, we're done. But if you're subscribed on the Patreon page, there's more stuff to talk about.
We're not done. We got stuff.
Yes, lots of stuff, as Chuck Barris used to say. All right, see you on the Shadow Docket, folks. Take care. Bye-bye.